The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 up to 34, skipping some verses and picking up again at verse 54 up to verse 62. The Word of the Lord. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. And then we skip some verses and pick up again at verse 54. Then they seized him, Jesus Christ, that is, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, This man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour still, another insisted, saying, Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. All men are like grass, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we now come to your word. You have made us for yourself. And Lord, you've taught us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from your mouth. And the Bible is your word that comes forth from your mouth. May you feed our hungry souls this morning. May you satisfy our thirsty souls with your word. May you speak to us, we pray. Send forth your Holy Spirit with power. And may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable before you, our God and Redeemer, in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning, as I stand before you, I have both bad news and good news. And as it is usually advised, it's always good, it's always better to begin with the bad news. Now, the bad news is that if you are a Christian, you are going to experience trials and temptations in this world. And some of these trials will be very hard, very painful. And sadly, sometimes you will fail miserably under these trials and temptations. That's the bad news. But then there's also the good news. And the good news is the one that we see in our text this morning, verses 31 and 32 of Luke chapter 22. Therefore, this morning, with the help of the Lord, I would like us to reflect on this good news in the next 30 minutes or so under the title, The Good News About Our Trials and Temptations. The Good News About Our Trials and Temptations. And we are going to look at 3 points. First, Christ prepares us for our trials and temptations. Secondly, Christ permits our trials and temptations. And lastly, Christ prays for us in our trials and temptations. Christ prepares us for our trials and temptations. Christ permits our trials and temptations. And Christ prays for us in our trials and temptations. First, Christ prepares us for our trials and temptations. Please look at verse 31a. Simon, Simon, behold. Here is Jesus Christ preparing Simon for the trial that is coming ahead. And he prepares him by warning him. He calls his name twice, Simon, Simon. And this is very rare for Christ to speak like this, because Christ hardly addresses anyone by calling their name two times. And in the gospel, according to St. Luke, we find it only in other two places. And in the first place, we find it in Luke 10, verse 41, where Jesus Christ is asking Martha to pay attention to what is most important in this life, namely to love Christ and his word. And in Luke 10, verse 41, Jesus Christ says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen a good portion which will not be taken away from her." And the second instance, we find it in Luke 13, verse 34, where Jesus Christ is crying for the city of Jerusalem and is warning the city of Jerusalem against his sin. And when he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I've gathered your children together as hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing." This was a warning. And again here we see Jesus Christ warning Peter. And you just have to consider the context of what is happening here. Just before this warning, the disciples are arguing as who is the greatest among them. And Jesus Christ is warning Peter, say, "Peter, watch out." You know, he's not just calling his name twice, but also he adds, "Behold." Now, children, behold means pay attention. Be careful. Watch out, Peter. There's a temptation coming. There's a trial coming. And there is a sin that is crouching at your door. And the sin is that of pride. The sin of self-importance. Who is the greatest among us? Watch out, Peter. Jesus warns Peter. But sadly, as we know the rest of the story, Peter does not take this warning seriously. He does not take this preparation seriously, and is going to fail miserably when the trial comes. So you see, Jesus Christ prepares us. Jesus Christ warns us about our trials and temptations. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ calls us to himself, when Jesus Christ saves us, he tells us right away that "I'm calling you to a life that is marked by trials." You know, when Christ calls us to become Christians, when Christ saves us, he does not promise us an all rosy and easy life. As a matter of fact, he tells us that our Christian life will be marked by trials and temptations. Hear what Christ says in Luke 9, verse 23. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It's a life of picking up your cross daily and following Jesus Christ. Friends, this is why the so-called prosperity gospel, the so-called healthy wealth gospel, is not true gospel at all. Because it promises Christ without the cross. But the true gospel does not separate Christ from the cross. If you are to follow me, you have to pick up your cross and follow me daily, says Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in John 16, verse 33, he tells us, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Christ tells us, he prepares us, you will have tribulation. You are going to have trials and temptation come your way. But take heart, rejoice, I have overcome the world. And you see, it's not just Jesus Christ, but you find this message throughout the scriptures. This is the message of the apostles. Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, in Philippians 1, verse 29, he writes and tells the Philippians, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Christ has not only called us to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And again, you see Paul and Barnabas as they are going to churches that they just planted in Asia Minor in Acts chapter number 14. They are going to strengthen these churches. And what is the message that they are preaching to these churches? You read in Acts 14, verse 22, it is through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. It is through many tribulations, friends, that we must enter the kingdom of God. And later Paul, towards the end of his life, as he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he writes to him and says, indeed, all who desire godly life will be persecuted. They will be persecuted. And the brother of Jesus Christ himself, James, summarized it very well in James 1:12. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials in your life. That's the message of the scripture. And that's how Christ prepares us. He warns us in advance that by becoming Christians, by saving us, he's not calling us to an all rosy and easy life. It is a life of trials and temptations. Simon, Simon, behold, watch out. There are trials in this world. But the good news continues to get sweeter and sweeter here. We see that Christ does not only prepare us for our trials, but also secondly, Christ permits our trials and temptations. And look at verse 1b, Jesus Christ says, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Now, the word translated demanded there can also be translated as he has asked with success. And really, the picture that Christ is saying here is that the evil one, Satan, had to come to Christ and ask for permission to try and tempt Peter. And the request was granted because he asked with success. Christ granted Satan the permission to go and try Peter. So you see, friends, Satan cannot just come to you, to tempt you, to try you, without asking for permission from Christ himself. And that's the good news. Just like as we see in the book of Job, Satan has to come before the throne of grace and ask for permission to say, I would like to try your child so and so. Can you give me the permission? And Christ says, well, you can go. And that's what we see in the book of Job. In Job chapter number one, verses 6 up to 12, we read this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So you see here, Satan has to come before the Lord. As a matter of fact, he goes there to accuse us. And he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Because you have put a hedge around him. That's why he fears you. But once you take this hedge around him, let me go and tempt him and try him. We will see. He is going to curse you. And notice that God grants him the permission, but with limitations as well. Only against him do not stretch your hand. You can do whatever you want, but do not touch him. So you see, the evil one cannot just come to us to tempt and try us without the permission of Christ. As a matter of fact, as Christ is permitting him to come and try us, he gives him limitations. And I often picture it in my mind. Of course, the Bible does not say it, but I just picture it in my mind. Satan approaching the throne of grace and he meets Jesus Christ, say, well, I'd like to try your son so-and-so, your child so-and-so. And then Christ said, well, before you go, let me look at the trial, the temptation. And Satan presents it to him. Christ looks at it and weighs it on his scale. He says, no, this is too much. I cannot allow you to test my child like this. Go and work on it again. So Satan goes and reshapes it, reduces the size. He brings it before Christ. Christ looks at it and weighs it on the scale and says, no, go and work on it again. And Satan goes and works, reduces it and brings it here. And Christ looks at it, put it on the scale and says, well, now this is good. You can go and test my child. He's going to stand under this trial. So you see, this is the good news, friends. This is the good news. You will not be tempted beyond your ability. And God has confidence and has trust that you're going to endure under that trial when he allows it to come your way. This is why Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You see, God provides a way of escape, and he will not let us be tempted beyond our ability. That's the good news about our trials and temptations. You know, friends, sometimes, even we Christians, sometimes we are tempted to think that Satan has the same powers as Christ. Sometimes we are tempted to think that Satan is the king of darkness, and Christ is the king of light, and these two kings have the same powers. But no, friends, Christ is the king of kings, and he has all the powers. As a matter of fact, Satan has no powers of his own. You know, Christ is God. Satan is a created being. Christ has all the powers. Satan has no powers of his own. See, Christ is present everywhere, omnipresent. Satan is not omnipresent. He's only present at one time, at one place at a time. Christ is the King of kings. Satan is a fallen angel. So he has no powers the same as that of Christ. In fact, he has no powers of his own. If Satan had all the powers in this world, all of us would have been destroyed by now, because he comes to kill and destroy. That's his goal. But praise the Lord that he doesn't have all the powers, that the King, Jesus Christ himself, sits on the throne and he controls everything in this world. This is why Christ declares in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. Friends, we are the church of Christ. We are God's people, and the gates of hell will never prevail against us, because Jesus Christ sits on the throne, because Jesus Christ is the King of kings. And if the evil one is to come to us, he has to go through this King of kings, and he has to be granted permission to do so. So this is the good news, friends. Christ permits our trials. As Martin Luther once said, even Satan is God's Satan. Yes, Satan is God's Satan. He controls him. And there's nothing that he can do to us without the approval of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the good news. But it continues to get better, because as we see thirdly here in our passage, that Christ does not only prepare us for our trials and temptations, and he does not only permit our trials and temptations, but also Christ prays for us in our trials and temptations. Please look at verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You see here, Jesus Christ is praying for Peter, that when this trial comes, his faith should not fail, and he should strengthen his brothers. Now, I would like us to notice two things about this prayer of Jesus Christ. First, as you look at this prayer, notice the nature of this prayer. It is a specific prayer. Jesus Christ in verse 2a says, but I have prayed for you. Now, when you see this passage in the original language, you see that in verse 31, when Jesus Christ says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, The pronoun you there in verse 31 is plural. In other words, Christ says, Satan demanded to have you all, as our friends in the South likes to say. That's the plural. But then you notice there in verse 32, Jesus Christ says, but I have prayed for you. And the pronoun you there is singular. I have prayed for you, Peter, just you. Now, I do not doubt that Christ prayed for the other disciples. For sure he did. But in this verse, he's specific. I have prayed for you, Peter. It is a specific prayer. And again, friends, this is a good news. That Christ prays for you, specifically for you. Christ does not just pray a general prayer for his people. He prays particularly for you. And when you are passing through trials and temptations, Christ is mentioning you by name before the throne of grace. God himself is praying for you. And that's the good news, friends. You see, one of the things that I love to do is to read biographies of pastors and theologians. And recently I was reading articles on the life of John Welch. John Welch was a pastor in Scotland, and he was a son-in-law of the great Scottish reformer John Knox. And one of the things that was well known about John Welch was that he was a man of prayer. And it is said that he spent one-third of his day in prayer, every day, 8 hours praying. And he would get up sometimes in the middle of the night, go to one of the rooms in his house, and begin to pray for his church. And he had a church of about 3,000 members, and he would begin praying for each one of them by name, one after another, 3,000 of them. And his wife sometimes was afraid that he would catch the cold due to the cold weather in the northern highlands of Scotland. So he would go into this room and plead with him, come back to bed, John. But he would not stop praying for his congregation, one name after another, 3,000 in total. That was John Welch. But you see, Christ, right now there are over 1 billion people who say that they are Christians. And Christ prays for each one of them by name before the throne of grace. And that is good news. That includes you and me. He mentions your name. He mentions my name before the throne of God. I have prayed for you. But so secondly, notice about this prayer, its content. What is Christ praying for in this prayer? You notice that there are 2 things that Christ is praying for. The first thing that Christ is praying for is that our faith should not fail. That when we are passing through trials, our faith should not fail. Friends, trials can be very hard. They can be very painful. And Satan takes advantage of that and comes to us and whispers to us, as he did to Job through his wife, are you still holding on to your integrity? Are you still trusting God? Curse God and die. He comes to us and says, well, if God is good, if God loves you, why is he allowing you to pass through this? You know, this Christianity thing does not work. Just forsake it. It's useless. Why should you suffer if Christ is the King of Kings? He takes advantage of our trials so that we can lose faith in Christ. But Christ prays for us that our faith should not fail. And friends, if Christ was not praying for us, all of us would have walked away from Christ because of the trials and temptations that we face in this world. The only reason why you and me are still believing today, the only reason why you and me are still trusting Christ today despite our hardships, is because Christ is praying for us that our faith should not fail. It's because of the prayer of Christ. Without him praying for us, we would have walked away from him long ago. And that's the good news, friends. Christ prays that our faith should not fail. Now, this does not mean that we're not going to fail in our trials. Sometimes we are going to fail miserably in our trials. Peter did fail miserably. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Not just once, not just twice, but 3 times. He failed miserably. But what happened when Peter failed? He was convicted, went out, and wept bitterly. And I believe as he was weeping there, he was confessing his sin, asking for forgiveness, repenting of his sin. And we know that because when Jesus Christ rises from the dead, one of the first people that he meets is Peter. And one of the things that he does to him is to restore him and commission him as an apostle and say, go and feed my sheep. That was a sign, Peter, I've forgiven you. You are forgiven. Your faith has not failed as I prayed. Of course you failed, but your faith has not failed. So friends, sometimes we fail miserably under our trials. But praise the Lord that our faith will never fail because Jesus Christ is praying for us. Matthew Henry puts it well. He says, though there may be many failings in the faith of true believers, yet there shall not be a total and final failure of their faith. Our faith can never fail because Jesus Christ is praying specifically for us that our faith should not fail. And lastly, notice what Christ prays for. He prays that after we have been tried and tempted and we've come out of those trials, we should in turn turn to our brothers and encourage and strengthen them. That's what we see in verse 32. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That's what Christ prayed for. I pray for you, Peter, that after you've gone through these trials, you can turn back to your brothers and encourage them and strengthen them in their walk with Christ. And we see that this was clearly fulfilled. The prayer of Christ was answered because when Christ ascended to go to heaven, Peter became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And he was the one who was leading the church, encouraging the church in the midst of persecution. And you know very well in Acts chapter 14, Peter and John, they are arrested and put in jail for preaching Christ. And later they are brought before the court, the Sanhedrin, and they are warned and said, do not preach the gospel anymore. And now you notice there the coward Peter, the one who denied the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness, he declares whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Here is the bold Peter standing before there. And because of his boldness, the other believers were so encouraged and they went forth to preach the gospel, even if it means dying. They were willing to preach the gospel because God, through Peter, strengthened the brothers. That prayer was answered. And friends, that's also the same prayer of Christ for you. As you are going through your trials and temptations, Christ prays that after you have gone through those trials, you can turn to your brothers, you can turn to your sisters who might be passing through similar trials, that you can encourage them and strengthen them in their trials. And again, we see here this truth also, Apostle Paul reminding us of this truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, where Apostle Paul prays the Lord and says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That as we are going through those trials and temptations, we receive this mercy from God. We receive this comfort from God. And God's will is that after we have gone through those trials, we can extend the same mercy that we have received the same comfort that we have received from God to others who are passing through similar trials. Jesus prayed for Peter, and God the Father answered that prayer. Peter strengthened the brothers. And one more place where we see this prayer being answered is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 5. Please turn with me there, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 4 and chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, we are going to read at verse 12. Apostle Peter is writing to a church that is being persecuted for their faith. These are suffering Christians. And this is what Peter writes to them. In verse 12 of chapter 4, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." Friends, no one can write like this unless they have gone through the trials and they have experienced the sustaining power of Jesus Christ's prayers. Peter could write this because he knew what he was writing. He experienced that sustaining power of the prayers of Jesus Christ. And notice finally what he writes in verse 10 of chapter 5. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." You notice there, Peter uses the same word that Christ prayed for. "You strengthen your brothers," and it's right there in verse 10. Strengthen, he will strengthen you. And as Peter is writing here, I can picture him in my mind. As he's writing, he said, "Brothers, I'm writing these things. Sisters, I'm writing these things to you, not because I've just heard them from Christ, but I myself have experienced this truth. I went through trials, but it was for a short while. And after I went through those trials, Christ himself restored, confirmed, strengthened, and established me. And he is also going to do it for you. He did it for me. He is also going to do it for you." The prayer of Christ was answered. And that's the good news. Christ prays for us in our trials. Now, as I'm wrapping up, I would like to say this good news is only for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you, my friend, you are not in Christ, this good news is not yours. This good news does not apply to you. However, there is a good news. You can come to Christ this morning. You can believe in Christ this morning, and this good news will be yours also. Therefore, by the message of Christ, I appeal to you this morning, come to Christ. Do not linger. My friend, the trials of this world will overwhelm you. You cannot stand against these trials on your own. The evil one will destroy you. But come to Christ. Come to the merciful Savior. Hear him speaking to you. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you find rest for your soul." My friend, come to Christ to find rest for your soul. Because there is good news for all those who are in Christ. When we are passing through our trials, then the good news is that Christ prepares us for our trials. Christ permits our trials. And Christ prays for us in our trials. That's the good news for you and me in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and our great prophet who warns us of the trials as a prophet, and as a priest, he prays for us in our trials, and as our king, He defends us from the evil one and allows him to test us, not beyond our ability. We thank you for this prophet, for this king, and for this priest. And I pray for my friends who do not know this prophet, priest, and king, that Lord, in your mercy and in your grace, you open their eyes and you help them to know this king, priest, and prophet. For your own glory, in Jesus' name, amen.